Lord today. I believe we're going to hear from the Lord today. I believe I have a word from the Lord today. If you get in your Bibles and meet me in the book of St. John, the 21st chapter, St. John and 21. It's good to have Sister Melissa back with us today. Amen. Since we've been missing you, amen, when you wasn't here. Praise God. Amen. And we're so thankful to have Brother Paul. He's been hanging right in there with us. Brother Paul, it's good to have you, sir. Amen. We appreciate you so much. Amen. And we're thankful for Sister Maddie's baptism we just had a few weeks ago. She's got a friend here with us today. Lord bless you. It's so good to have you. Amen. And we had Sister Leslie. I don't know if she left or not, but amen. We're thankful to have Sister Leslie. She's watching from the nursery. God bless you, Sister Leslie. We're so glad to have you today. Amen. And we're glad that the Holy Ghost is in this house today, most of all. Amen. The book of St. John, the 21st chapter, I want to read today for a text, verse 1 through 6. St. John 21, verse 1 through 6. The word of the Lord says, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again." Everybody say again. Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of the Lord's disciples. And Simon Peter saith unto them, "I go a fishing." Now that's first century lingo for "I'm getting ready to go fishing." "I go a fishing." And they said unto Simon Peter, "Well, we're also going to go with you. You ain't going fishing without us." Amen. Ever said that before? You ain't going fishing without me. I'm in. Amen. And the Bible says in verse 3 that they went forth and they entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was come, Jesus was standing on the seashore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto them, "Children, have you any meat?" Did you catch anything out there, sir? "Have you any meat?" And they answered unto him, not knowing who he was. They said, "No, we did not catch anything." Verse 6 says, "And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes." I came to tell this body today, when you've done all that you can do and you still come up empty, get desperate for the different and listen to Jesus, that your joy may be full. I have chosen today for a subject, desperate for the different. Desperate for the different. Before you're seated all over this house, can we make a joyful noise unto the Lord together and give him praise for all of our visitors, for the mighty presence of the Lord we feel in his house today, for the expectation that's in our heart that the Lord is going to speak to us through his word today. Come on, give him some praise today. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. You may be seated today. Amen. Desperate for different. From the opening lines of John's gospel, he wasn't playing. He was not playing. From the opening lines of the gospel of John, he was on a mission. It was obvious John was on a mission. Matthew, according to his gospel, opened his gospel with genealogy. Mark and Luke opened their gospels with the ministry of John the Baptist. But John opened his gospel with, "In the beginning was the Word." In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. And the 14th verse, "And the Word was made flesh, and the Word dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Amen. John powerfully records the I am statements of Jesus that rattled the religious leaders of his day. "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way. I am the truth and the life." Amen. And Jesus, a carpenter from Nazareth, was using the ancient name of God revealed to Moses from a burning bush. I am. I am. Jesus was letting them know that he was the mighty God in Christ. Listen, denominational churches might miss it today, but the Pharisees who were listening to the words that Jesus was speaking definitely caught exactly what he was saying when Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am. I am." Amen. John was on a mission in his gospel to let the world know that Jesus was the mighty God in Christ. And then in John, the 20th chapter, the Bible records that Thomas looks at what should have been mortal wounds in the body of a living man. There he says to the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, "My Lord and my God." My Lord and my God. The gospel according to John is a powerful declaration of the mighty God in Christ. And here we find ourselves, the book of St. John, the 21st chapter, and the first verse, we see that Jesus shows himself to his disciples again. Everybody say again. Jesus shows himself to his disciples again at the Sea of Tiberias. And it's here after the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. It's here after the risen Savior has already showed himself, Sister Lucinda, not once but twice. He has already appeared unto his disciples. And here at the Sea of Tiberias, the Lord shows himself again to his disciples. It's here. He shows him and he shows himself to the apostles or to the disciples, and two times he has already showed himself, and here Peter tells the other apostles, he says, "I'm going fishing." And they tell Peter, "You ain't going fishing without us. We're going fishing with you." So they get into a boat and they head out on the water. Now let me remind you, Peter was not taking a day off of work like we would do for a little bit of rest and enjoyment so he could enjoy some time out on the water. No, Peter wasn't taking a break from the normal. Now, Peter was going back to what was normal for him. All right, Peter wasn't like us. He wasn't taking a day off of work, Sister Vic, and saying, "I just need a break from everything. I just need to get some rest. I just need to enjoy myself for a day. I need to get my mind right." Essentially, what Peter was saying was, "This is all just too much for me. I got to go back to what I know is normal for me." Jesus was no longer walking with him. Jesus was no longer there with him on a daily basis, discipling him. Peter wasn't taking a day off work for rest and enjoyment like we do when we go fishing. Peter was a professional fisherman, and fishing was what he laid down, Brother Teddy, to pick up his cross and to follow after Jesus. So Peter was essentially saying, this is all too much for me. I got to get back to what I know to do, and that is to fishing. This was all a little much for him. Jesus had left him. Jesus was no longer with him. It was too much for this fisherman to handle, so he goes back to what he knows, the thing that he had walked away from, fishing. I'm going fishing. They fish all night. They catch nothing. And in the morning when they're on their way back in, when they're not far from the shore, a man standing on the shore yells out to him, Brother Tim, and he says, did you catch anything? Do you have any meat? And they, not knowing that it was Jesus, respond to him and they say, no, we didn't catch anything. Anybody ever had somebody catch you on the way out from the lake or the way out from the river and say, did you catch anything? And your words were famous. You had to look at them and say, no, I didn't catch nothing. They wasn't by you. You don't say it like, oh no, I didn't catch nothing. You say, nah, man, I didn't catch nothing. They ain't biting. And I couldn't get them to hit anything. That's what I usually say. I threw everything but the kitchen sink at them. I threw every color worm I had. I threw every color spinnerbait I had. I tried top water. I tried bottom water. I tried middle water. I tried everything I had. Them fish just ain't biting today. The Lord catches them on their way back in and he yells out, did you catch anything? And they respond, no, we didn't catch nothing. You see, they had already quit hoping. Come on, they were already discouraged. How many know that when you quit walking with Jesus and you return to what you know, come on, it'll take away your hope today. It'll take you, when you quit walking with Jesus and you go back to what's comfortable for you and what's easy for you and what you came out of and what he delivered you from, when you turn around and you go back to what you laid down to follow him, it'll take every bit of hope you got out of your life. And Peter and those disciples, they look at Jesus, they say, nah, we didn't catch nothing. We didn't catch nothing. Their hope had been taken away from them. They had already quit hoping. They were discouraged. They settled for the status quo. Failure and disappointment had already settled in. Can I tell you that as a child of God, the worst thing you could ever do is settle for an empty net? Hear this preacher today. The worst thing, Brother Joe, you could ever do in your life is settle for an empty net. You don't have to settle for an empty net today. These men were discouraged. These men were despondent. These men had given up all hope. They didn't know what to do. Come on. And they were desperate. Listen, they were desperate. Their best efforts had caused them to come up empty-handed. Can I tell you, as a child of God, the worst thing you could ever do is settle for an empty net. Their best efforts had led them to coming up empty. But then something happened. But then they heard a voice from the seashore. Then they got desperate for something different. Then Jesus tells them to change what they're doing. Anybody ever had the Lord tell you to change what you're doing? Come on, then Jesus speaks to them from the seashore and he tells them to change what they're doing. And he says, cast your nets on the other side. Now, I can hear those disciples, because I like to fish. I can hear those disciples just like the rest of us Christians, Brother Eric. We already tried that side. No, they just ain't biting. We've done fished all night long and we didn't catch anything. The fish just are not biting. No man's going to tell me what to do. Oh, my God, anybody ever heard that? Ain't no man gonna tell me what to do. I tell my wife that all the time. You ain't gonna tell me what to do. I can hear us Christians just like the rest of them disciples. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. We know what we're doing. We know how to fish. We don't need you to tell us how to fish. You're a carpenter and we're fishermen. We know what we're doing. You can hear them disciples, Sister Gail, telling this man on the seashore that they don't know who he is, but he's telling them to do something different than what they did. And I can hear them telling him, we don't need you to tell us what to do. But I can hear Jesus say, if you're desperate for something different, just listen to what I got to say. If you're tired of coming up empty-handed, just listen to what I got to say. If you're tired of returning without hope, just listen to what I got to say. If you're tired of your nets being empty and you coming back discouraged and despondent, just listen to what I got to say and cast your nets on the other side. Let me tell this body something today. When you get desperate enough for something different, that you'll listen to what Jesus says, the results are going to blow your mind. When you get desperate enough to do something different and you get desperate enough to listen to what Jesus has to say, your catch will be copious. You ain't going to be able to contain everything that you're going to get caught in your net. You can't contain the blessings of God. Your mind cannot comprehend what God wants to do for you. Your enemies are not going to believe what God is going to do for you. No weapon formed against it. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Something miraculous happens when you get desperate for the different. When you start to listen to what the Lord has to say. Come on. Come on. I need to allow my will to be broken and I need to learn to listen to what Jesus has to say. Come on, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. My greatest efforts have led me to nothing but emptiness. My greatest efforts have led me to nothing but failure and despondency. But when I got desperate enough for something different and I began to listen to what the Lord had to say in my life, I want you to know when he told me to cast my net on the other side, I had a great catch that I was not able to contain. How many know the blessings of God are abundant today? The blessings of God are abundant today. And it's time for the church to get desperate for the different today. Listen to me, we should not be in this building today, but we got desperate for the different. My God, somebody hear me today. Come on, Brother Don shouldn't have victory over alcohol, but he got desperate for the different. Brother Teddy should still be on them drugs, but he got desperate for the different. Brother Paul should still be having panic attacks. Brother Joe should still be without a job, but they got desperate for the different, and they started to listen to what the Lord had to say. When you get tired of emptiness, when you get tired of brokenness, when you get tired of coming up short-handed, listen to what Jesus says and cast your nets on the other side, because he knows what he's talking about. He knows what he's talking about. Your best effort still didn't get you the results you was after. You got to get desperate enough for the different to listen to the man who's standing on the seashore. You're out there on the water. You fished all night long. You're coming home with your nets empty. You didn't get anything accomplished. But there's somebody standing in your life watching you from afar off. And he knows exactly what you need. And he knows exactly what to speak into your life. And if you'll just get desperate enough for the different and listen to what the Lord has to say and cast your nets on the other side, those empty nets won't be empty no more. Come on. That depression, that anxiety, that despondency, that disappointment, all of these things, you won't come back empty no more. If you just learn to listen to Jesus, it's time for the church to get desperate for the different. It's time for the church to get desperate for the different. I told the Sunday school this morning, I said, listen, the Lord didn't give us this building for no reason. The Lord didn't help us to raise the money to put the signs on the front and on the side so we could just sit in here and wait for sinners to walk through the door. No, that ain't what he did. He didn't give us this beautiful Ephesus. He didn't give us a good worship team and good musicians and good sound team. He didn't give us good praisers and worshipers so we couldn't create an atmosphere of praise and worship, something that God would be inhabit, something God would enjoy, something that would come up before him as a sweet-smelling Savior. He didn't give us all this so we could sit here and say, Lord, just send them through that door. No, he said the Spirit and the bride have to say, come. It's time for us to get off of our do nothing and get our card out of our pocket and say, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. If you want to stop coming back with your nets empty, get desperate for something different. Get desperate for something different. Say, man, the way I've been doing it, it ain't got me nowhere. Let me tell you something. Einstein knew exactly what he was talking about when he said insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. I never seen the likes of people coming back with empty nets but won't listen to the Lord, who knows exactly what he's talking about. Says, he knows exactly what he's talking about, but they will not listen to the Lord because they're so stuck in doing things their way. Can I tell you, your way will lead you to the greatest failures of your life. You better get desperate for something different. You better realize that your mind is earthly. You better realize that your mind is finite. You better realize that your greatest thinking cannot ever get you the results that you want to get in your life. But the power of God, the Holy Ghost and fire can get you exactly the results that you want to have in your life. If you're tired of empty nets, get desperate for something different. Get desperate for something different. When you get desperate enough to go against what makes you comfortable. Peter wasn't just taking a break. Peter wasn't just taking a day off work. Peter was frustrated. Anybody ever been spiritually frustrated? Anybody ever been spiritually weak? Can I tell you that the answer to your spiritual weakness and the answer to your spiritual frustration is not and will never be going back to what makes you comfortable? No. Going back to what you come out of, going back to what makes you comfortable, going back to your way of doing things will never be the answer to empty nets. Settling. You know how many people I watch settle? We tell young ladies in this church all the time, you don't have to settle for what the world offers you. You don't have to settle for somebody that ain't going to worship God with you. You don't have to settle for what this world has to try to give you and tell you that's all you're going to get. You deserve somebody to walk beside you. You deserve somebody to serve God with you. You deserve a soulmate in Christ Jesus. You deserve better. And people got to stop settling for empty nets today. When you get desperate for the different, you can count. You better strengthen. You better tend to those nets. Because the catch that you're going to get is going to blow your mind. Come on, when you get desperate enough to go against what makes you comfortable, your net's going to fill up. Your cup's going to run over. I want to ask you a question today. Which side of the boat are you fishing on? The side you want or the side Jesus wants? Which side of the boat are you fishing on? The side that brings you comfort, the side that makes things easy for you. Anybody ever been on a boat and one side of the boat is a whole lot easier to fish off of because it don't have all of the instructions that this side of the boat has? Are you fishing on the side of the boat that's easiest for you? Are you searching for self-comfort? Are you listening to the voice of God? Because what matters is which side the blessing is on. And as long as you're fishing on the wrong side, you ain't never going to fill your net with the blessing. You got to learn to listen to the voice of the one that's standing on the seashore. Which side of the boat are you fishing on today? The side you want or the side that God wants? How many know you can be in the boat and miss the catch? You can be in the church and miss heaven. You can be in the boat and miss the catch. I'm old enough. I remember when I was a boy, my grandfather used to play tricks on me all the time. He would tell me, we'd go fishing over Camp Atterbury, and I'd be sitting right next to my grandmother, and she'd be catching fish all night long. Brother Kyler, I couldn't get a fish on the hook to save my life. I remember one time I turned to him and I said, Pop, what in the world is going on? Why is she catching all these fish and I can't catch nothing? And he said, son, she's got this special oil in her fingers. So when she puts the worm on the hook, the fish see all that oil from her fingers. You ain't never going to catch as many fish as she catches. I was young, Kevin, and stupid. But as I got a little bit older and I was a teenager and I went fishing with my grandma, I watched her. She'd tear those night crawlers in half and give me just a little bit piece. And she'd load her hook up all the way to that stuff's hanging off everywhere. And it just looked so yummy for those fish, they couldn't turn that night crawler down. She had stuff hanging off everywhere. And I was like, yeah, it wasn't no oil on her fingers. It's because she was baiting her hook and starving my fish to death, so I wasn't catching no fish. Can I tell you, you got to get wise to the enemy's tactics. You got to start listening to the voice of God, and you got to get tired enough of empty nets that you're willing to be desperate for something different. I started baiting my own hook, and I started catching fish, Brother Tim. You just got to get smart enough to where you ain't getting slicked by the enemy. Church, listen, if you are tired of empty nets today, it's time to stop doing stuff your way. It's time to stop fishing in your comfort zone. It's time to stop doing what makes you comfortable. It's time to get uncomfortable for Jesus. It's time to listen to his voice in your life and do what he tells you to do if you're tired of empty nets. I'm talking about a church today that needs to get desperate for the different. You can be in the boat and miss the catch because you won't listen to what Jesus has to say. Cast your nets on the other side. There's a miracle waiting for your net. You don't have to come back empty-handed. You don't have to come back frustrated. You don't have to come back without hope. You don't have to come back despondent. You don't have to come back feeling like a failure and a loser. You don't have to come back with empty nets all the time. Your Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. What are you waiting on? It's time for you to get in him and him get in you. And it's time for you to listen to what he says and get desperate for the different today. When you get desperate for the different, you can forget about those empty nets. Your cup's going to run over. There's people in this church. There's people in this church who have listened to the voice of God. And man, they switched up the way they done things. They stopped listening to their flesh. They stopped listening to other people around them. And they started listening to the voice of God in their life. They started listening to spiritual leadership in their life. And let me tell you something, they're reaping the rewards of being obedient to the voice of God in their life. And then there's people in this church who won't change anything they do, anywhere they go, won't change anything about their life. And they still come back with empty nets all the time. When are you going to get tired of empty nets? When are you going to get desperate for something different? You don't have to come up short all the time. You don't have to be empty-handed all the time. You can listen to the voice of God and you can cast your nets on the other side. There's a miracle waiting for your net. There's a great catch waiting for your net. But it's going to take a new approach. It's going to take new methods. It's going to take new people. It's going to take listening to the voice of God. It's going to take getting out of what you know and getting into what he knows. It's going to take getting desperate for the different. Cast your nets on the other side. Listen to the voice of God. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's talking about. He knows your life better than you do. I thank God for the day that I put my own agenda aside. I thank God for the day I stopped worrying about people thinking I was crazy because I worshiped the Lord. I thank God for the day that I stopped worrying about people calling me a fanatic because I love Jesus. You can call me anything you want, but I'm coming back with my net full while you're coming back with your net empty. You know why? Because one day I got desperate for the different. And I was willing to listen to the voice of God in my life. You can listen to the voice of God in your life and you will stop being disappointed with empty nets. Stand with me as the musicians come quickly. Let me tell you something. The church gets this Jonah mindset. How many of you remember the story of Jonah and the whale from when you were a little child in Sunday school? We read how that the Lord spoke to Jonah. He told him to go cry out to that great city of Nineveh. He said, there's a people over there that need to repent. They need to turn from their wicked ways, and I need a voice. Jonah, I want you to go cry out to that great city. And I want you to tell them that they need to repent. Jonah was so caught up in doing things his way. He booked a boat and he fled to Tarshish. He didn't want to listen to what the voice of God said into his life. You know why? Because Jonah did not want Nineveh to be saved. Nineveh was the capital city of the enemies of God. And the Lord had already prophesied that the Lord was going to use them to bring reproach upon Israel. So Jonah didn't want to do what God had told him to do. So he goes and he books a boat to go do his own thing. When he gets out on the boat, guess what happens? A sea begins to rock and roll and the sea begins to get rough. And before you know it, the men begin to cast lots. And they said, there's somebody on this boat who's bringing this up on us. We got to cast lots. And guess what? The lots fell upon Jonah. And the Bible says that Jonah told him, he said, I'm running from God. I'm running from what God told me how to do. And the only way you're going to save yourself, the only way you're going to get rid of this storm, the only way is for you to cast me over into the depths of the sea. So they pick him up and they throw him over into the depths of the sea. And the Lord prepared a great fish, the Bible says, hence Jonah in the well. It swallowed Jonah up. And the Bible says that Jonah was in the belly of hell. And there, he found himself getting sincere with God. There, Brother Jacob, he found himself being willing to listen. Sir, it don't take the belly of hell to get you to listen to God. You can listen to him right now. You don't have to wait until your life is such a mess that you can't fix it. You can listen to God right now. You don't have to wait and run from God and be disobedient to God. You can listen to God right now and you can go do what God told you to do. But Jonah repents and he asks God, he said, please, Lord, just get me out of this place. And the Lord causes that fish to spit him out upon dry land. Jonah became like old runner. Then wheels started turning fast as they could, and he ran to Nineveh as fast as he could. But we as the church, we get this Jonah mindset that we want to do things our way. We know what we're doing. God doesn't know better than we do. We know what we're doing. We get this Jonah mindset that we would rather die than do something different. You know, the Lord tells Jonah when he gets to Nineveh, he says, cry out to that great city, Sister Melissa. He cried out to the people of Nineveh, and the Bible says they repented, Brother Mike. They repented. They found God. They repented of their sins. The Lord was blessing them, And Jonah got so discouraged and disagreed with God so much that he sat down and he said, Lord, just take my life from me. Jonah would have rather died than do something different. God, what is wrong with us today? What is wrong with us today? That we would rather drown and die in our sorrows than just listen to what the voice of God has to say in our lives. Jesus was standing on the side of the shore. He looks out to these professional fishermen and he says, let me tell you what you need to do. I don't care how professional you are. You'll never be a professional Pentecostal good enough to not have to listen to God. You got to listen to the voice of God. It's better to obey than it is to sacrifice. We got to learn to listen to the voice of God. Jesus speaks out onto the waters and he tells this group of men, he said, cast your nets on the other side. Against their better judgment, against knowing everything that they needed to do, Brother Paul, they were professionals. They had life all figured out. They knew how to catch fish, but they listened to the voice. They listened to the voice. They took their nets and they cast them on the other side. And the Bible says that the nets were so full that they were about to break. And they had to go and they had to take boats and tow those nets all the way to shore. And there is Jesus sitting on the seaside. And he's got a fire burning. He's got some fish cooking. And he's got something for him to drink. He says, sit down here for just a moment. All you have to do is listen to what I was saying to you. All you had to do, you didn't have to endure those empty nets. You didn't have to endure that lack of hope. You didn't have to endure that discouragement. All you had to do was listen to what I was telling you. I want to ask you today, are you desperate for something different? Are you willing to get out of your comfort zone? Come on, somebody. Are you willing to change it up today? Are you willing to say, I don't know what's best for my life. I don't know what I'm doing. I need the voice of God in my life today. I'm desperate. I'm desperate for something different. My greatest thinking has led me to my greatest failures. I've made mistakes that I cannot seem to overcome. I need something different in my life. I need the Lord to move in my life. Come on, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Those disciples didn't have to listen to Jesus that day. Jonah didn't have to listen to the Lord that day. You want to know what the difference between Jonah and Nineveh was? Nineveh was desperate for the different. Nineveh was ready to repent. Nineveh was ready to turn. Nineveh was ready to do something different. Nineveh was ready to say, man, we are messing this stuff up. We got some stuff all kinds of messed up. We need the voice of God in our lives. Jonah had it all figured out. Jonah had it all figured out. He was a prophet. He was living for God. He knew better than God did. I'm amazed how the longer we live in the church, the more we start to think, Brother Paul, we know better than God does. You'll never know better than God does. You'll never know better than God does. All you got to do is open up your mind, listen to the voice of the Lord. If you're tired of empty nets, get desperate for the different. Nineveh was desperate for something different. If you're tired, I want you to get out of that seat right now. If you're ready for an outpouring like you have never experienced in your life, I want you to get out of that seat right now. If you're tired of disappointment and dissatisfaction and disgust, if you're tired of returning back with empty nets in your life, come on, if you're ready for something fresh, if you're ready for something life-changing, if you're ready for something life-altering, if you're ready to listen to the voice of God, if you're desperate for something different, get out of that seat right now while the Holy Ghost is moving in this place. Walk up to the front of this church and offer yourself to God. If you're tired of empty nets, if you're tired of empty relationships, if you're tired of empty this and empty that, if you're tired of losing hope all